Finnish Christian politician is facing trial for quoting the Bible. Welcome to Tore and Tarjei, a podcast from the Norwegian Christian daily newspaper Dagen. Today it is only me, Tore Hjalmar Sævik, who is here in the studio in Norway, but I have with me a guest from Finland, and that's you, Päivi Räsänen. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
People who have read our newspaper the two latest years should be aware of you because you have made headlines in your country and outside your country because of something that happened in August 2019. Could you briefly explain what happened?
Yes, the police started investigation about my tweet on August 2019. Over 2 years ago. And it was because of my tweet. I had a Twitter posting in June 2019, where I criticized my church, the Finnish Lutheran Church, and its leadership because of its support to Helsinki Pride event. And I posted the photo to the tweet from Bible, from Romans 1, first chapter 24 to 27, and asked there that how is it possible that, because the Bible is the foundation and the basis of the church, so you support that kind of acts that Bible calls sin and shame, and you celebrate them as pride. And this was the this was my question. And after that, some citizen had made a criminal complaint, and police started the investigation. My tweet, it was towards the leadership of the church, so it didn't even occur to my mind that it would have been some kind of hate speech towards anyone, because it was a discussion about church politics.
You have been a politician, a national politician even in Finland, for over 25 years. Did it surprise you that things developed as they did?
Yes, it was a surprise, because I have been member of parliament over 26 years, and all the time I have been very open about my values and my faith. I have spoken about these things and these issues before many times. It didn't come to my mind that this could be somehow against our law. And after that, when police started the investigation about the tweet, then there were made several more criminal complaints about a booklet that I had written.
And that was back in 2004, isn't that correct?
Yes, 2004 it was published. And then there was a radio program and TV program and one of my blog postings. Altogether, there were five criminal complaints. But then last April, the prosecutor general filed charges for three of them. So yeah. I'm waiting now for the trial next January.
That will take place in January.
Yes,
2022. Yes. How has the process been since this started back in August 2019, what would you say have been your experience with being under investigation and the responses you've got from people in your own country and around the world, actually?
Yes, it has taken a lot of my time because there have been several interrogations. I have been many times in a police station discussing with the police in the hearings about my writings and my opinions and my conviction. Of course, this has been also a very public issue, but I think that at the same time, this has been very important discussion. So I think that it is also, I have an attitude that this is part of my calling as a Christian influencer to speak about these things.
What kind of reactions have you received from Christians? I think both of Christians in Finland and in other countries.
I have got a lot of support and supporting messages from Finland and abroad. Thousands of messages where people have told that they are praying for me and my family and for Finland, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that. But also I have got that kind of messages that people are afraid of this process. And there is also a phenomenon of self-censorship that, for example, young Christian people tell that they are afraid to tell that they are Christians, that they believe in the Bible and in Jesus because of a label to be connected to hate speech or that kind of issues. And I think that the most important danger, the biggest danger in this process, in this whole process, is the self-censorship that Christian people are afraid to express their values and express their beliefs and also take part in the public discussion about values, for example, about marriage and gender and that kind of issues.
Hei, jeg heter Bjørnar og student ved NLA-skolen. Her kan du studere mye forskjellig. På NLA klassene små, som gjør det lett å komme I kontakt med både medstudenter og forelesere. Hvis du nysgjerrig, så bør du gå inn på nla.no og finne ut mer om de ulike studiene som NLA tilbyr.
As you mentioned, you are accused of hate speech. Where do you see it proper to draw a line between what is freedom of expression and what is bullying of other people?
Yes, in Finland we have not such concept as hate speech in our legislation, but we have a law about agitation against a minority group, and that is just the law that I'm accused to have broken against it. And I think that it is very difficult to draw the line because, for example, the pamphlet that I published almost 20 years ago, Male and Female, He Created Them is the name of the pamphlet. The police, when police investigated the pamphlet, the police said that no crime had taken place, but the prosecutor general had a different opinion and she then filed the charges. I have been making laws, for example, just that law of criminal agitation against minority groups. It was in our parliament in 2010 when I was a member of parliament. And it never came to my mind that I would have done something against that law when I was accepting the law. But so I think that if a legislator and if those police and prosecutor can't agree about what is legal and what is illegal, how can an ordinary citizen know it? So it is very, very difficult to draw the line. But I think that I have, in my writings or in my postings, I have not bullied anyone. I have not threatened or defamed anyone. But now we then see in our trial and in court what what the legal system is thinking about these writings. What I have been speaking, it is the teaching of, I would say, classical biblical beliefs and what the Christian churches have been teaching for decades. So if I will be condemned, then I think that the biggest danger is not only a ban to my writings, but a ban to many, many other similar writings of churches and of pastors and preachers and Christian people. So I think that it is really a problem of freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
When you look at the reactions that have come, do you think now that you would have done something differently?
No, I have really read many, many times those my writings, and I have been thinking that do I still stand before what I have written and what I have said? And I stand before what I have said. And I think that it is important, because what is dangerous is that if the church teaches differently what Bible teaches, then there is a danger that Christians lose their faith and their trust on the Bible. And then I think that it is not only a question about marriage between man and woman, but it is also a question about our salvation, that we can trust upon the Bible and the message of the Bible and the core message that we all are sinners. And it is God who says what is sin and what is not. It is not human beings, but it is God who tells what is sin. And it is important that we know what the law of God says, and because we all need forgiveness, we all need trust upon Jesus who has died for us and forgives our sins.
Nå tilgjengelig på New Faith Network, filmen The Prayer Box. En inspirerende film om en ung gutt som gjør alt I hans makt for å få Guds oppmerksomhet og hjelpe hans dødssyke søster. En vakker fortelling om tro, håp og kjærlighet. Se The Prayer Box nå på New Faith Network. Du ikke medlem ennå? Abonner I dag og se de første 14 dagene gratis. Besøk newfaithnetwork.no.
People who identify with sexual minorities often point to the history of criminalization, forced medical treatment, and many forms of discrimination in the past, even in our Nordic countries. Today, such things, even with a threat of death penalty, is taking place in other parts of the world. Do you see any common ground between Christians with a traditional conviction about marriage and sexuality and these LGBT groups? Is it possible to get some understanding?
Yes, I understand very well what they are feeling. And of course, I'm sorry for all mistreating that they have experienced during the history. And I have said in my booklet and also in those interrogations, I have said that I believe that all people are equal, and that God has created us all. That's why we have equal value. And we have to respect each other, and homosexual people are valuable people as all of us. So I think that it is also very important that in church life and in churches that we welcome people from minorities. We can include them to our churches and other in our society, and So it is also, I would say, a very important part of Christian doctrine that God has created us all equal. So I don't see that it is in contradiction with the teaching that we are sinners.
But some people will, for example, compare maybe with, if you talk to Muslims about Christian faith, the first thing you would say would probably not be that Muhammad is a false prophet, because you would want to build a relation and so on. Have you reflected on that today, if people are very not familiar with a Christian traditional teaching about marriage and so on, it can be very provocative to hear that. Have you thought about that in this process?
Yes, I, of course, I understand also that, but I have to remind that this has been, this has not been personal discussion with homosexual persons. But I think that it is important to have discussion about these issues, LGBT issues that are so topical in our days, and that also influence the church life and what we are teaching about Bible, and everyone who starts to read Bible, who starts to read, for example, Romans, comes to know these teachings. And if they are in contradiction what the church is teaching, or if the church is silent about these teachings, then I think that it is destructive to their faith and to their trust upon the Bible, and that's why I think that it is also important to speak openly and teach openly about these topical issues.
Has this process challenged your own faith in any way?
I wouldn't say so, because when this process started, I was shocked about the decision of the Church of Finland to support the Pride event. I was very sorry for that, and I was praying that what should I do now? Many of my friends resigned the church, left the church, and I was also praying that should I also leave the church now?
And you're married to a priest or a minister, isn't that correct?
Yes, 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 Lutheran pastor, yes. And then I got a very clear vision that now it is not my time to escape from the church, leave the, I would say, the church boat that is sinking, but it is my task now to try to speak so loudly that those who are in danger would wake up, and I could wake up those Christians who are now in danger. And so I wrote a tweet, Twitter posting, and I had a very, very clear vision that it is my duty to speak. And I have felt that this has been in hands of God. This has been some kind of guidance and some kind of calling to me to speak about these things. And that's why I would say that I have calm mind.
Have you also talked to people who have feel they have been hurt or have been sorry for what you have communicated about this?
Of course I have spoken. I have got also some postings, and I have answered to these persons. I suppose there is in Finland also we have very strong advocacy groups for LGBT community, and I would say that it is also some kind of activism from these advocacy groups. Because, for example, when the pamphlet 2004, when it was published, I didn't get any negative feedback from that publication. I have also got many messages and from homosexual people, persons who have said that they do not agree with these charges. For example, in Finland, there is a very well-known member of parliament who is himself homosexual, and he is living in partnership with a man. And he has been publicly very loudly supporting me and my right to speak about these things and to free speech and freedom of religion. In fact, there are very, very few people who have told that it has hurt them personally.
You obviously feel a strong, I would say almost calling as a Christian. Could you say something about how you became a Christian?
Yes, in fact, I have been Christian since my childhood. I am not from a very actively Christian home, but in my home village where I lived, there was a very, in fact, I have been living in a village where there was a prison. So my home was the nearest building of a of the prison, and my father was working in prison. And there was a Sunday school for children near the prison, and all children at that time went to Sunday school. And I remember I was a very little girl. I remember that I was praying that Jesus would come into my life and forgive me my sins. And I remember that I was about 5 years old or something like that, that I thought that I am as sinful as those prisoners who are there in prison, that we are similar human beings, but and someday I could be in prison, but that I have all this evil inside me and I need the forgiveness of my sins, I need Jesus. And I was praying with the Sunday school teachers that Jesus would come into my life. And of course there have been in my life some, for example, when I was teenager, I had some difficult moments in my faith, but I would say that I have been Christian from my childhood. And
also are a medical doctor. Why did you choose to study medicine?
Yes, I was very, very interested in mathematics and physics in the school. And when I started my studies, I started to study medicine and also mathematics and physics, technical physics at the same time. And it was very difficult for me to choose what to study. For half a year, I studied in many places and tried to make the choice. But then I thought that I would like to work with people, with human beings, and I would like to help them. So I then decided to continue my studies in Helsinki University to be a medical doctor. And then I worked for 10 years as a medical doctor after my studies and before I I then went to politics.
Why did you choose to run for parliament? That was back in the mid-90s.
Yes, it was there. In fact, as a Christian medical student, the question of human value from the beginning of the life was very difficult issue for me, and the question of abortion. During my student time, I decided that I will not do abortions because I thought that it is in contradiction with the respect to human value of these small children in before they are born. And I was also in public discussion as a young medical doctor about abortion and euthanasia, about these kinds of issues. I wrote some books, and I also was in some TV debates and radio debates. Then in 90s, I had already family, I had children, and then we had the economical distress time. In my work as a medical doctor, I faced such problems where the roots of these diseases were in social life, and for example, economical problems and unemployment and so on. And then I thought that I would like to try to impact on the problems in the society, because not only to give them some medicines and and so on. Then 1995, I was in elections, and I was elected to parliament.
Hei, jeg heter Bjørnar og student ved Analogskolen. Her kan du studere mye forskjellig. Lærerutdanning, musikk, journalistikk, økonomi, pedagogikk, interkulturelle studier og teologi, som jeg studerer for å bli prest. På NLA er klassene små, som gjør det lett å komme i kontakt med både medstudenter og forelesere. Hvis du nysgjerrig, så bør du gå inn på nla.no og finne ut mer om de ulike studiene som NLA tilbyr. Jeg håper jeg ser deg til høsten.
You have also been the leader of the Christian Democratic Party in Finland and a member of the government for 4 years as a minister of the interior. And you are a grandmother now. So think about how do you look at the cultural changes that have taken place in Finland and in other Western countries when it comes to values and attitudes and how Christianity is regarded.
Yes, there has happened a great change during my life and during my career. For example, when I started as a member of parliament, if someone had asked that how many genders people have, this question would have thought that they are stupid to ask these kind of questions. If we also look for some researches that have made, we know that the beliefs of Finnish people have changed a lot during past 20 years or past 30 years. So the values of people nowadays are very, very, very different than 20 years ago. And I would say that even though the Evangelical Lutheran Church is still a majority church in Finland, so that almost 70% of people belong to that church, Christian faith is in minority nowadays, because in researches we know that it is only a minority of Finnish people who believe in the basic basic doctrines of the Bible and Christianity. For example, that Jesus is Son of God and so on. We are now living in a very, very different situation than in my youth or childhood.
How do you think that Christians should act and engage in a way which you consider to be both faithful and constructive in this context?
Yes, I think that it is very important for us Christians now to defend the freedom of speech and freedom of religion, because the more we are silent about these issues that are in contradiction to the ethos of nowadays, narrower comes the space of the freedom of speech and religion. So when we have these rights, we should use them. And I think that now it is a time for Christians to be open about their faith, tell to people about Jesus, and especially the core doctrine of grace, that he has died for our sins. And it is also the key answer to the problem of sin. Because nowadays, I think that ordinary people, if you go to Helsinki streets of our capital and ask people that what is the core doctrine of the Bible, I suppose that many of them couldn't say. They would say perhaps that it is the love to neighbor or something like that, which is, of course, it is important teaching in the Bible and from Jesus, but it is not the core doctrine. The core of the Bible is in the sacrifice of Jesus. And it is also the solution to the problem of sin. I would say that the LGBT ideology is not the right answer, but the right answer is the sacrifice of Jesus.
Some critics would say that conservative Christians seem to be engaging just a few issues about when it comes to what are central Christian values, and especially around sexuality and identity and so on. What do you think yourself about having the broader approach as a Christian to think about all of life in a biblical perspective?
This is very important, and I agree that of course if we read Bible, it is a very much broader focus. But I would say that this is not the war or the fight that we have chosen. It has been given to us from outside, because nowadays just these teachings of Bible are denied in Western societies, and that's why we have to answer these questions. And I would say that we Christians, we have not chosen these issues. These have been given to us, and we have to answer.
My last question, it's soon Christmas, and it's also soon your birthday, I realized. what does Christmas as a holiday mean to you personally?
Oh, I'm waiting to have time to be together with my family, with my children and grandchildren. I have 7 lovely grandchildren, and then also 2 of my daughters are now pregnant, and they will soon give 3 more children. There are twins and one single. So And I'm also, my mother is now in hospital. She's sick, and I hope that I would get her home for Christmas. So I'm waiting the time with my family. And of course, the message of the Christmas that God became as a human being is an enormous, huge message, and it is a big joy for me and my family. So I really love Christmas time, and I hope that also now we are very busy in Parliament, and the COVID corona virus problem has also made more work for us. And I know that also after Christmas, very soon we have to come back to Parliament, but I hope that I would have then many days time to be with my loved ones.
Thank you, Päivi Räsänen, for spending time with us today. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.